Okay, so let's start from Pasuk Ches. We're in Perek Chaf Dalet, the final Perek of Sefer Yehoshua. And last week, I think the last thing we did was Pasuk Zayin. So let's begin with Pasuk Ches. Okay. So Pasuk Ches, so again, just to remind us of what's going on here, literally, you know, in the beginning of Perek Chaf Dalet, Yehoshua is going through almost like a Jewish history lesson. You know, going through Jewish history, he gathers everyone together and he tells them, quoting from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what God says, literally. Be'ever ha'nohar yoshva v'seichem e'olam terach avi Avraham. And he starts already from Terach. You know, Avram's father, the Terach, was the father of Avram, and he worshipped Avodah Zarah and Nahor, and we discussed last week about that. And then I plucked Avraham, so to speak, out of that. You know, terrible environment, and I brought him to Eretz Canaan, and then I gave him Yitzchak, and Yitzchak had Yaakov and Esav, and I gave Esav Har Seir, etc., etc. And then he mentions the fact that Moshe and Aaron were the messengers to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and then I took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and then the final pasuk, which was pasuk Zion, was Kriyas Yamsuf, right? The Kodesh Baruch Hu says that I brought them through the Yam, and I drowned the Mitzrayim in the Yam Suf, and you all saw the wonders that I did in Mitzrayim. And then literally at the very end over there, at the end of Pasuk Zayin, Vateshuv v'amidbar yomim rabim, and you stayed in the Midbar for 40 years. You stayed in the Midbar for 40 years. Okay, so now Pasuk Ches is now, we're heading towards Eretz Yisrael. V'avi eschem el Eretz ha'emori ha'yoshe ve'ever ha'yardein. So I brought you, again says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Bnei Yisrael through Yehoshua, I brought you to the land of the Emori, who settles in Eiver HaYarden. We're still talking about east of the Jordan River, right? We haven't quite crossed in to Eretz Yisrael yet in this account. Vayilochamu itchem, and they fought with you, right? They fought with you, the Emori. Va'etein osam biyedchem, and I gave them into your hands. Va'tirshu es artzam, and you inherited their land. Va'ashmidam mipneichem, ba'ashmidem mipneichem, and I destroyed them from you. So the Malbim points out that we have different types of wars. We have physical wars, we have spiritual battles, and this was clearly a physical war, right? That he's describing. Va'ilochamu itchem. But the Malbim says that over the next couple of psukim, we're going to see the spiritual battles, the spiritual wars. Pasuk Tes, Vayakam. Yes.
And on that Pasuk Tes, the first word, Va'avi.
Yes.
Is that the future tense? Although Art Scroll translates it as the past tense.
Right. So in general, this is a little bit of a trick. It's a Hebrew grammar trick. So there's something called the Vav HaMehapechet, the Vav that switches the tenses. So when I have, and this is throughout the Torah. In fact, one of the most, you know, common psukim in the Torah, Vayidaber Hashem L'Moshe Lemor. Yidaber is future tense, right? Mm-hmm. And yet, what does the pasuk mean? Vayidaber Hashem L'Moshe Lemor, and Hashem spoke to Moshe in past tense. The Vav of the Vayidaber, right, which is a Vav with a Patach, that changes it from future tense to past tense. Which is why, if you'll notice, sometimes we'll correct the Bal Kore if he says vi instead of va. Right, which sounds like a minor error, but in fact the vi means and the yidaber means and he will speak in the future. Va yidaber switches it to past tense and he did speak. So it's a good question, but that's the it's a grammatical error.
Rabbi,
it's a grammatical, yeah.
I'm sorry, they also say the hey.
Yes.
Feminine rather than masculine.
Okay.
Because that, it's Hashem. It's more Hashem's way.
It's Hashem's way, what? The softer way?
It's feminine because this alludes to Hashem's presence.
Oh, the hey. The hey alludes to Hashem. Interesting.
Feminine, right.
Okay, very nice. Interesting.
Rabbi, also, just reading this, I didn't know this was Yeshua, I would think that this was Hashem talking.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's Hashem talking through Yehoshua. Yehoshua is the mouthpiece, so to speak. He's the Navi.
He's saying, I did this and I did that.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, right, but you have to rewind a little bit to Pasuk Beis, right? The beginning of the Perek Pasuk Beis, Vayomer Yehoshua El Kol Ha'am, Kol Amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Right, this is what God has said. And then he goes on to give the whole the speech. So he's saying, this is God's word. Right? I'm just sharing God's word. Okay.
But what's the purpose of this Kari and Kasiv? I never quite understood that.
What, Va'avi? The Va'avi with the hay?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Rishonim, honestly, the Rishonim don't comment much about this. They don't make much of it. Okay. Why is it written with a hay? You know, maybe to allude to, like Aaron said, maybe to allude to Hashem. The Rishonim don't really talk about it too much here. Okay, in Pasuk Tes, Vayakom Balak ben Sipor Melech Moav. And now we're talking about Balak, right? Remember Balak, the story of Balak and Bilam. So Balak, the son of Tzipor, the king of Moav, he gets up, Vayilochem b'Yisrael, and he fights against the Jewish people. Vayishlach vayikra levilam ben Beor lekalel eschem. And he sends a message, right? He sends messengers, and he calls to enlist Bilam ben Beor to curse the Jewish people. Oh, good question.
There was no war.
And yet the Navi says, Vayilochem b'Yisrael. Good. So that's what the Rishonim ask.
No physical war.
Exactly. So that's...
They didn't talk about the war with Midian. They have to... How did he curse them?
Okay. All right.
Because he got killed in that war.
Right, right. But it doesn't sound like it, because it sounds like we're talking about some kind of a battle before he went to Bilam. Right? Because that's the order of the pasuk, right? The pasuk says Vayilochem Yisrael, and then Vayishlach Vayikra Levilam Ben Bor. You know, so what's the battle? So the Alshich has an approach here where he says that before we get to the Alshich, what many of the Rishonim say here, the Mitzvudas David and the Malbim, is that There was no actual war, right? Balak did not really fight with the Jewish people, but the Pasuk considers it as though he fought with the Jewish people. Why? Because had he been able to, he would have. Balak wanted to fight the Jews, but he just recognized that he had no chance. Right? He recognized that he had no chance. He saw, many of the Mefarshim say, that he was actually one of the officers of Sichon. He was an officer of Sichon to begin with. That was his first job, right? He was an officer of Sichon, and he saw the Jewish people defeat Sichon in a supernatural way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped them defeat Sichon in a supernatural way, and he realizes, we have no chance, right? So he wants to fight Bnei Yisrael, but he can't. So, but since he would have, right, had he had the opportunity, he would have done it. So therefore, the pasuk treats it as though he did it. It's almost like it treats his machshava, even though generally we don't treat a person's evil plans as though they did something, but here the pasuk seems to be treating his evil plot, his evil plan to fight against Bnei Yisrael, almost like he actually fought against them. So that's one interpretation. And they say that's why he went to Bilam, because he recognized that there's no chance of us being successful against them physically. Physically we have no chance, right? Because they have Hashem on their side. So our only chance is, if they're fighting supernatural, our only chance is to combat them with supernatural. What's our supernatural? Bilam, the sorcerer. Right? That's our only chance. So that's what that's what he thought. Maybe he would be able to do that. And the Alshich says a similar vein. The Alshich says that also, and he says that that even though Bnei Yisrael were great in number at the time, right? They're coming out of Mitzrayim. I mean, they have a lot, 600,000 men to a couple million people. It's a big nation. We're not talking about a small nation. But nevertheless, he realized that that the only way to fight them was not with numbers, was not with strength, because we had no choice. It was only with the supernatural method. And that's why he called Bilam. Okay. Pasuk Yud. Velo avisi lishmoa levilam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, right, again, Yehoshua is reporting, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I did not wish to listen to Bilam. I did not, v'lo avisi is a language of lo ava l'shalcho. He didn't want to. It's a language of ratzon. He didn't want to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to listen to Bilam as much as he tried to curse the Jewish people, as we know throughout that story of Bilam. Vayivarech Baruch Eschem, and as we know, Bilam ended up blessing the Jewish people. Va'atzil Eschem Miyado. And Hashem saved us from his hands. Who were his hands? The hands of Balak. Because Balak was the one, he was the mastermind. He was the one who really wanted to make this happen. He was the one who hired Bilam to do this. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us from the hands of Balak. As the Malbim says, Hashem saved us not only from the physical battle, but this was a spiritual battle. This was a supernatural battle. And Hashem saved us from this also. Right? Hashem is saving us left and right. Physical battles, Hashem is saving us in spiritual, supernatural battles. Hashem is saving us as well. The Alshech picks up on the word V'lo Avisi, and he says, you know what, it sounds like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, maybe really B'nai Yisrael deserved to be cursed. But B'nai Yisrael, we know, made a lot of mistakes. First of all, they came out of Mitzrayim, they weren't on the greatest level. And even in the Midbar, we know, right, time and time again, they were complaining, kvetching. You know, they weren't the best of people just yet. And the Alshech says it could be that B'nai Yisrael really deserved to be cursed by Bilam, but Hashem says, "V'lo avisi lishmoa," but I don't want it. I don't want it. So since Hashem didn't want it, Hashem loves the Jewish people. He didn't want it to happen, so that's why he didn't let it happen. Not because B'nai Yisrael didn't deserve it. They did deserve it, perhaps. But v'lo avisi lishmoa. Hashem says, sometimes even if you do deserve it, I'm gonna protect you. Right? It's a little bit of it's a beautiful message. You know, sometimes you have children. Sometimes they deserve a punishment. But the parents, you know, they love them, and sometimes the love overcomes that desire to punish the child, right? Or something happens in school, and really the kid deserves, to get a little bit of a punishment or what have you. And the parent has rachmanis on the kid because it's their kid. So here also, it sounds like, says the Alshech, that maybe, you know, Klal Yisrael could have deserved a little patch, you know, from Bilam. But Hashem says, "V'lo avisi lishmor leBilam." I'm not interested. I didn't want him. I love B'nai Yisrael. I didn't want them to be cursed. Okay, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vatavru es Hayarden. Oh, so now we're coming across the Yarden, coming into Eretz Yisrael, right? More recent history, Yehoshua reporting, Vatavo el Yericho, and we came to Yericho, Vayilochamu vachem Baala Yericho, and they fought against you, right? The Baala Yericho, presumably the masters of Yericho, the people of Yericho, not just the people of them, but the government of Yericho, it sounds like, almost. And then it lists all the nations. Ha'emori, v'ha'prizi, v'ha'knani, v'ha'chiti, v'ha'girgoshi, ha'chivi, v'ha'yivusi. These are the seven Canaanite nations. Right? The seven nations. V'etein osam v'yedchem. And says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I gave them into your hand. Rashi mentions here the reason why all seven nations are mentioned. And this is interesting, because we didn't really discuss this too much in the past, even though we talked about the battle with Yericho. And that was one of the first things we learned about in the Sefer. So Rashi says that Yericho was close to the border. Right? It was close to the border with close to the Jordan River, close to the border. And because of that, many warriors from all of the seven nations settled in Yericho. Yericho was a place of, like, you know, where all the big Chashma warriors would come and settle in Yericho. Kings, but also it sounds like even the warriors, you know, the strong warriors, they would come and settle there, because that was an entry point into Eretz Yisrael, right near Yericho. That was an entry point into Eretz Yisrael, and they wanted to keep it fortified, they wanted to keep it strong, so that's why it was a very fortified, strong city, as we learned, when we read the story of Yericho, that it was a very fortified city, right? We learned that. So that's how Rashi understands. It's interesting, the Radak takes issue with this, and he says that, the Pasuk, it's a strange Pasuk, because the Pasuk says, and this is similar to what we just read, you know, when it comes to Balak, what does the Pasuk say? Vayilochamu vachem ba'al Yericho. What is Vayilochamu vachem? They fought. Was there a battle with Yericho? There was no battle. Same thing with Balak, right? It says there was a battle, no battle. So Mepharshim have to say, it was a supernatural battle, he wanted to fight them. With Yericho also, what's Vayilochamu vachem ba'al Yericho? There was no fight. They came to Yericho, they camped outside, they did the seven circles, and the walls fell down, and that was it. And the end of the battle. Right? You know, then they went in, and they did whatever they needed to do. There was no battle, so what's the Vayilochamu? So he thinks that, the Radak thinks that maybe the Vayilochamu refers to the later wars. Right? That after Yericho, we know that there were some, you know, some kings that escaped and some kings that got out, and they came back later with that unified front. Remember, we learned that all the kings came together, unified, to fight against Klal Yisrael. So the Radak thinks that maybe that's what the Vayilachem Uvachem Baal Yericho refers to. That this is some of the survivors of Yericho, the people that got out. They went to the other nations, and now after Bnei Yisrael defeat Yericho, they come back later with the other kings unified to fight against Bnei Yisrael.
Well, there was a battle at Yericho, really. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a battle that was taken out, but when they went into Yericho, sure the people didn't let themselves be slaughtered.
When they went in, right, but it's from the Pesukim, it sounds like they didn't have, it wasn't much of a fight at that point. Once the walls came down, it wasn't much of a fight. maybe there was something, but it doesn't sound like it was much. That's how the Radak understands it. That's the fight that we're talking about. The Al-Sheikh points out here also, fascinating. He says, we find in the same Pasuk, we're mentioning the Yarden, and we're mentioning Yericho. Right? Vatavu is Hayarden, that's how the Pasuk starts. And then Vatavu el Yericho. So what's the connection? I mean, obviously, that's chronologically, that's what happened. We went through the Yarden and then we came to Yericho. But says the Al-Sheikh, there's much more than just chronology here. He says that it's a comparison. Just like you crossed the Yarden with such ease, they didn't have trouble crossing the Yarden. What did Hashem do? We stopped the water and everybody walked through. So just like you had such ease crossing the Yarden, you had the same ease, right? Defeating Yericho. You came to Yericho, you surrounded the city, you walked around it a few times, walls came down, and that was it. That was the end of the city. So the water didn't stand in your way, Yericho didn't stand in your way, the walls didn't stand in your way. And you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing all the forces of nature. And he says that we know that there are four yesodos of creation. So here it's Mayim, he says it's Mayim and Afar. The water, right, that's the water of Yericho. The water didn't stand in your way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was allowing, he stopped the water from getting in your way. The walls of the city of Yericho, that's the Afar. That's the earth, right? It was presumably made out of stone or something like that. Right? It comes from the earth. So both the Afar and the Mayim did not stand in your way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu moved them right out of your way, and you conquered them both with ease. You crossed the Yarden with ease, and you conquered Yericho with ease. And so too, you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules over all of creation, just like he rules over the Mayim, just like he rules over the Afar, and he didn't allow those to get in your way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules over all of creation. Nothing will get in your way. That if you follow Hashem and you do what He wants, and you do what He's and you do what He tells you to do, nothing will get in your way. Everything, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will move right out of your way. Okay. Mitzudas David says everybody, Yericho was a very beloved city, and that's why people were there. The Malbim also says that this battle that the Pasuk refers to a later battle, not the battle of Yericho per se, but there was a later battle. He also points out here that here the Pasuk mentions the Girgashi. Right? It mentions all seven nations, including the Girgashi. If you remember, back from the earlier parak when we discussed Yericho, we didn't mention the Girgashi. Why? So if you remember, the Malbim actually said then, he said that the Girgashi was the one nation of the seven that fled. They all had the opportunity to run, right? And none of them decided to leave except for the Girgashi. And back then the Malbim said that the Girgashi was actually rewarded. They were given, he says Afriki. I'm not sure if it's exactly Africa or not. I don't know if it probably rings a bell. But they were given Afriki, they were given this land because they went out, right? They left. They said, okay, we're out of here. We don't wanna cause trouble, and we're out. And the Girgashi left. Okay. Pasuk Yud Beis. Va'eshlach lifneichem es hatzira vatigaresh osam mipneichem. So here HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I sent before you the tzira. What's a tzira? So tzira is a type of, what does it say, a wasp? It's a type of fly, hornet. Okay. So the Rishonim, the way they describe it, it's a type of zvuv. Now if a zvuv means a fly, but it's a type of a poisonous, something that can sting you, or something that somehow creates some sort of a problem. The Radak says it's some sort of a fly that would sting them in the eyes, and it would blind them, right? It would blind them in their eyes. And Hashem says, I sent you this tzira, vatigare shosam mipnechem, and I drove out these nations from before you, shnei malchei ha'emori, right? The two kings of the Emori, Lo becharbecha velo bekashtecha. Not with your sword and not with your bow. Not with your sword and not with your bow. So like we said, the Radak says that this was this special, whether it's a hornet or a wasp or something like that, some sort of a flying insect that stings or that's poisonous. And the Radak says that Hashem brought this twice. He says it's mentioned once in the Torah. It's actually mentioned in two places in the Torah. But one of them is a threat and one of them is a description. So it's mentioned once in the Torah that it came in the times of Moshe, and then it comes back in the times of Yehoshua. So in the time of Moshe is in Parshas Mishpatim. We just read it. We just read it this past Shabbos in Parshas Mishpatim. Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Ches, the Torah says, V'shalachti es hatzira lefanecha. Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. Hashem says that I sent the tzira. Same word, the tzira. I sent it before you. V'gersha es achivi es aknani ves achiti milfanecha. And I drove out the chivi, the knani, the chiti from before you. Right, so this was in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what it says in Parshas Mishpatim. And then later, here we have in Sefer Yehoshua, we have the same thing. We have this tzira also coming back. Who are these Shnei Malchei HaEmori? The Torah, right? The pasuk refers to these two kings of the two Emori kings. So the Matsudas David says this is a reference to Sichon and Og. Right, these two kings, these were the Malchei HaEmori, the kings of the Emori were Sichon and Og. So that's what we're talking about here. And the Malchum is a little bit bothered because he says the Pasuk is a little out of order. Because we already discussed the battle of Sichon and Og. Right, the battle of Sichon and Og was before they came into Eretz Yisrael. So it's kind of strange. We talked about the battle in Pasuk Ches. We already talked about battling Sichon and Og. Okay, that's what we started with tonight, right? Va'avi eschem el Eretz ha'emori. Right, so that was already Sichon and Og. And now we discuss coming into Eretz Yisrael, we talk about Yericho, and now we're going back to Sichon and Og. Right? And that battle happened outside of Israel. So the Malbim is bothered by this. It seems to be very out of order. So he answers that this pasuk must be referring to the Girgashi. And that which we just mentioned the Girgashi in the previous pasuk. So the Malbim says this has to be referring to the Girgashi. And once they heard that Bnei Yisrael, the Klal Yisrael, defeated Sichon and Og, the two Malchei HaEmori, defeated them in a supernatural way, they ran away as if they were being chased by these Tzira. There wasn't an actual Tzira, the Malbim says. They ran away as if they were being chased by the Tzira. But he says you have to say that we're talking about the Girgashi fleeing, and that's why it's brought here, because we just mentioned the Girgashi. So that's why the Pasuk has to repeat the fact that the Girgashi left because of that battle, of Sichon and Og, which Hashem helped Bnei Yisrael win in a supernatural way. That's why the Girgashi left, as if they were being chased by these hornets or wasps or whatever the case might be. Okay, Pasuk Yud Gimel. One last thought. At the very end of Pasuk Yud Beis, it also says, Lo becharbecha velo bekashtecha, right? That here, the battle with Sichon and Og was not won by natural means. It was not won by sword or by bow. It was won by Kadosh Baruch Hu just gave them to us. Right? We didn't have to fight too hard for Sichon and Og. So the Al-Sheikh says that all of this description of these battles and all of these miracles and all that Kadosh Baruch Hu did, essentially, Hashem is saying, look how good I was to you. But look at all of these instances where I performed miracles for you. I saved you. I saved you from physical battles. I saved you from supernatural battles. I did miracles here. I did miracles there. Right before you got into Eretz Yisrael, I helped you. After you got into Eretz Yisrael, I helped you. I did so much for you. Keep that in mind. And this is going to segue into what Yehoshua's telling the people. But he says, keep this in mind. Like how much I've done for you. Keep in mind how much I've done for you. Okay. Pasuk Yud Gimel. This is fascinating. Va'etin lachem eretz asher lo yagatava. So what does Hashem say? Now I gave you the land of Israel. I gave you the land of Canaan. This is a land asher lo yagatava. You didn't have to work too hard for it, right? I gave it to you on a silver platter. But not only that, the arim asher lo v'nisa. Right, Bnei Yisrael, they walked into Eretz Yisrael and they took over cities. These cities were not built by them. Others built the cities. the seven nations built the cities. And then what happened? Bnei Yisrael defeated them and they left. Bnei Yisrael settled in the cities, built cities, houses, fields. Bnei Yisrael took them. Vateshvu bohem karamim v'zeisim. Right? You took over their orchards. You took over their vineyards and their olive groves. Ashelon atatam, which you didn't plant. They planted it. You didn't plant it. Atem ochlim. And you're harvesting and you're eating all their fruit. Okay? So the Alshich says, you know, a fascinating thing, and this relates to he relates it to the first Rashi in the Chumash. But he says that, you know, why is it, think about this, why did Hashem have to give us a settled land? Why did Hashem give us a land that was not settled? Right? Why didn't Hashem work it out that Eretz Yisrael would not be settled? Right? There are plenty of places, I'm saying at that time in history, there were plenty of lands, plenty areas in the world that were not settled. So let HaKadosh Baruch Hu work it out that Eretz Yisrael would have nobody living there. It would be unsettled territory. Bnei Yisrael would come in. Hashem says, this is the promised land. You know, come here, build the land, do what you want. And the Alshich said, imagine if that happened. Imagine if Hashem did that. We wouldn't have the Arabs claiming that we're occupying their territory. We wouldn't have people kvetching that we stole Eretz Yisrael. It's unsettled land. We just walked in, unsettled land, we pitched our tent, we put our flag down, and we built it. Nobody can have any titles on us. Nobody can have any claims on us. Why didn't Hashem do that? Right? Well, wouldn't that have been easier? Why didn't Hashem do that? So the Alshich says, what does the Pasuk say in the beginning? Va'etein lachem. So here he says that the Vav, the Va'etein lachem, implies that Hashem gave and He's giving again. It's a double giving. Giving and giving again. Right? What's the giving and giving again? Hashem says, this is my land. I gave it to them first. I gave it to the seven nations at first. But now I'm giving it to you. Now I'm giving it to you. The reason why Hashem did this, right? The reason why Hashem did this, to show, he's showing I'm the boss. This is my land. Right? If it was your land, that's one thing. But it's not your land. It's my land. So I gave it to you at one point, and now I'm taking it from you and I'm giving it to Klal Yisrael. And that's what the first Rashi says in Chumash. Right? Then why does the Torah start with Bereishis Bara Elohim, with the whole story of creation? Is if it's a book of mitzvah, start with the first mitzvah in the Torah. HaChodesh HaZelachem. Why do we have this whole story of creation? Says Rabbi Yitzchak in the first Rashi in Chumash, which the Alshich quotes here, says Rabbi Yitzchak, it's to teach us that who owns the land? Who's the boss here? The Ribono Shel Olam. He created the world. He created Eretz Yisrael. So at one point in history, he decided to give it to the seven nations, and they occupied Eretz Canaan. And now Hashem says, you know what? Your time is over, and now pass it on to the next. Now I'm giving it to Bnei Yisrael. Right? It's almost like, you know, a parent is refereeing between their children. You know, you got a toy. You got to share the toy. So I'm giving you the toy. You have it for 10 minutes, and now I'm taking it, I'm giving it to you. And now you have it for 10 minutes. Says the parent, it's my toy. Right? I'm in charge. That's what I always say in my house, right? All the kids say, you know, these are my toys, my toys. I say, it's my toys. They're all my toys. You know, so you get it for 10 minutes and you get it for 10 minutes. It's my toys. Right? So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying. This is my world. This is my land. So I may have given it to you, the seven nations at first, Eretz Canaan, but now I've taken it. Va'etein. Now I'm giving it again to someone else. It's now Bnei Yisrael's time. It's now Bnei Yisrael's turn to have it. Also, it's miraculous. I mean, think about it. It's such a chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Alshich says this also. It's such a chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have brought Bnei Yisrael to a land where they had to work, and they had to shvitz, and they had to build houses, and they had to build cities, and they had to plant vineyards, and they had to plant olive orchards, and, you know, they had to work, you know, literally work the land. He didn't do that. He brought us into a land that was ready-made. He specifically wanted these people to build up the land, and then Hashem says, okay, now it's your turn to leave, and you'll go elsewhere. Okay, and now it's Bnei Yisrael's turn, and it's an unbelievable chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a ready-made land. A ready-made land. We have cities, we have houses, we have vineyards, we have orchards, we have all these things. It's a tremendous chesed from the Ribono Shel Olam. Okay, Pasuk Yedaled, and now Yehoshua says, with this perspective, right? And he just painted a whole perspective of the entirety of Jewish history. From Terach, Avi Avraham, the father of Abraham, all the way through giving Bnei Yisrael Eretz Yisrael. Literally. the whole Jewish history. He just said in 13 Pesukim, you know, approximately 11, about 11 to 13 Pesukim, Yehoshua just summarized all of Jewish history. Comes Yehoshua and says, why did I tell you all this? Because you need to have that perspective, and now going forward, what's your approach? I'm leaving, Yehoshua says. I'm about to die. What's going to be your approach going forward? Given that perspective of Jewish history, how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for you throughout the ages. Pasuk Yedalet. V'yata, and now, says Yehoshua. Yiru es Hashem. You have to be in awe of Hashem. V'ivdu oso, and serve Him. B'tamim. Right? B'tamim u'emes. We'll talk about what those mean. V'hasiru es Elohim asher avdu avoseichem be'ever hanahar uv'mitzrayim. And get rid of all the idols. Get rid of the Avodah Zarah. The Avodah Zarah that your fathers served in Eivor HaYarden, Terach and Nahor, right? The Avodah Zarah that they worshipped in Mitzrayim. Get rid of it. Get rid of all that stuff. V'ivdu es Hashem, and just serve Hashem. That's the message. Once you have all of Jewish history, this is now your job. This is now your mission. Serve Hashem. Be in awe of Hashem. Serve Him properly. So the Al-Sheikh says that the Yiru, right? What does it say? It says Yiru v'ivdu. So what's the Yiru? The Yiru is stay, be in awe, be in fear, stay away from the los ha'aseis. Stay away from the negative things that you're not supposed to do, all the things that God, that Hashem tells you to avoid. What's the ivdu? The asay. That's the positives. Do all the things that Hashem tells you to do. Give tzedakah, honor your parents, keep Shabbos. All the positive things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem says, don't avoid the negatives and make sure you do the positives. Okay? And he says also that it's, what does it say? Ivdu, it says, Yiru es Hashem, v'ivdu oso besamim. He says, don't fear punishment. Don't serve God because you're afraid of getting a patch. I have to keep Shabbos because or else, you know, I'm going to get punished. Or else I'm going to get a patch from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Don't serve Hashem like that. Serve Hashem betamim. Serve Hashem with purity, with simplicity. And also, don't serve Hashem because He's going to reward you. Right? Don't stay away from the negatives because He'll punish you, and don't do the positives because He'll reward you. And He says that's the tumim and the emes. Right? Don't stay away from the negatives because He's going to punish you. Rather, do it betumim. Do it with purity. And don't do the asays. Don't do the positives because He's going to reward you. Do it be'emes. Do it because it's true. Right? Do it because this is meaningful. Do it because you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes. That's why you serve Hashem. That's why you do His mitzvos. Not because you're going to get some reward down the line. Okay, reward, we know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us reward. Schar va'onesh. We're going to get punished. But that shouldn't be the motivating factor behind why we do things. Don't stay away from things because you're going to get punished, and don't do things because of reward. And all the psychologists, lahavdil, they say, punishment's not good. Right? Why isn't punishment good? Because punishment just ensures that whenever the child, let's say, thinks they're going to get punished, they'll avoid their behavior. But as soon as there's no threat of punishment, the parent's not around, the teacher's out of the room, then what happens? Why not? Right? If the only reason I'm not doing it is because I'm going to get a patch, I'm going to get detention, I'm going to get punished. So if there's nobody watching, I'm going to get away with it. Why not do it? You have to teach someone that no, you avoid these things because they're the wrong thing to do. You do these things because these are the right things to do. That's the besamim uve'emes. That's how you serve Hashem. Not because He's going to patch you if you do something wrong, and not because He's going to give you, He's going to give you schar because you did something right. You do it because this is the right thing to do, and staying away from these things, these are the wrong things to do. That's why we do things. Oh. And that's why also it says that you got to get rid of the Avodah Zarah. You got to get rid of the Avodah Zarah. Says the Al-Sheikh that if you're serving Hashem, you won't find meaning in this Avodah Zarah. Right? If you're serving Hashem properly, this stuff is narishkeit. Right? Worshipping idols, these idols are meaningless, these idols are worthless, they don't do anything. You know, so people that have nothing, so they have to clutch something, they have to grab onto something to give them some sort of purpose in life, some sort of meaning. So they take this, they take that, they worship idols, you know, it gives them something. But if you have the emes, if you have the truth, if you have what's truly meaningful in life, all this stuff is worthless. It's narishkeit. It doesn't do anything for you. You got to get rid of them. Okay? The Malbim says that's also why it repeats v'ivdu, right? Because look, it says in the pasuk v'ivdu oso besamim, and then again at the end of the pasuk it says again v'ivdu es Hashem, right? Because serving Hashem, you got to serve Hashem, and then you got to get rid of the idols and serve Hashem. You can't, right? What do they say? You can't dance by tzvei chasnas, right? You can't be doing both at the same time. You can't have the Avodah Zarah on the side and serve Hashem as well. You know, so often in life, you know, sometimes that's what we try to do. Not real Avodah Zarah. We don't have idols nowadays. But we try to have our life of Gashmias, our life of, you know, a little Avodah Zarah. And then what do? And then we come, we dive and we learn, you know, we're trying to be frum also. You can't do both. Right? You can't do both. You can't try to be frum and then have the outlet to the Avodah Zarah at the same time. Says the Malbim, get rid of the Avodah Zarah. That's the only way you're going to be successful here. Get rid of it. Pasuk Tezvav, V'im Rabbei Nechem, says Yehoshua to the Jewish people, and if you don't like this, right? If you don't find this is a good approach, serving Hashem, Lavodas Hashem, then Bacharu Lachem Hayom Esmita Avodim. Make a decision. Who are you going to serve today? Who are you going to serve? Imes Elohim Asher Avdu Avoseichem Asher Me'ever HaNahar. Are you going to serve the gods that Terach and Nahor served in Ever HaNahar? Vimes Elohei HaEmori Asher Atem Yoshvim Ba'artzom. Are you going to serve the gods of the Canaanite nations? Right, that you're now living in their land in the Eretz Canaan. You're going to serve their god? Right, is that what you're going to do? That's your choice? Ve'anochi uveisi navodas Hashem. Says Yehoshua to the Jewish people, if that's the choice you want to make, that's fine. But that's not the choice I'm making. I and my family, we know what the truth is. We know what the right path is. Right? He's telling them, listen, you got to make a decision here. You got to make a decision. It's either right or wrong. It's either HaKadosh Baruch Hu or it's Avodah Zarah. Make a decision. You can't do both. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avodah Zarah. If you want to choose Avodah Zarah, that's fine. Worship Avodah Zarah. But just know, I, right, and all B'nai Yisrael look up to Yehoshua. He says, I and my family, we know what's right. We're doing the right thing. Follow us. Right? Follow us. The Pasuk Tazayin, we'll just do a couple more Pesukim. Vayan Ha'am, Vayomer, Chalila Lanu Me'azav Es Hashem. The people say, Chas V'Shalom, Chalila. We're never going to leave Hashem, say the people. Lavod Elohim Acharim. We're never going to worship other idols. We're going to stick with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to stick with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Al-Sheikh says in this Pasuk, it's not clear in the Pasuk that this is the Pasuk Pshat, but the Al-Sheikh says, that the people are kind of justifying to Yehoshua and say, listen, Yehoshua, we can still hold on to the idols. We're not going to worship them. We'll serve Hashem, but we'll still hold on to the idols and it won't be so bad. You know, we saw that they're meaningless. We know that they don't really do anything, but keep in mind, what did they have? Eloi chesef ve'eloi zahav. These with this gold and silver here. Right? We're not talking about some worthless wooden idols. These were expensive idols. So the people are saying, you know what, maybe I'll just leave it in the garage. I'll leave it in the attic. I'm not going to worship them. I'm not going to bow down to them. I'm still going to worship Hashem. You know, and I know that these idols don't help anybody. We saw that these idols didn't help the Amorim when we came through. We saw that these idols were not helpful, were worthless. Don't worry about it. Pasuk Yitzayin, Ki Hashem Elokeinu Hu Amale Osanu. They say, we know, we recognize that Hashem, our God, He's the one who took us up. He's the one who took us and our forefathers up from Mitzrayim, from the house of Avadim. And He did, in front of our eyes, He did these amazing, amazing, incredible nisim. And He guarded us throughout this path that we're walking on, and all the nations through which we went. So they're saying, says the Ashok, what are they saying? They're saying, we can't even think about doing Avodah Zarah. We recognize all the incredible nisim, all the incredible things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. We would never think about doing Avodah Zarah. We saw, what did the Avodah Zarah do for all the nations that stood up against us? Nothing. They all worshipped Avodah Zarah. And what happened? They didn't win any battles. They didn't do anything. Hashem just wiped the floor with them. So we recognize that it's worthless. We're not going to do anything. Right? We don't need an intermediary. Right? We have HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He Himself saved us. The Malbim says that the here also B'nai Yisrael are giving four reasons why they'll never stray from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number one, because He redeemed us from Mitzrayim. He took us out and He made us His Avodim. If He freed us from Mitzrayim, He made us His servants. We don't have a choice, right? We got to worship Him now. We got to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have no choice. He's the one who took us out. He says that's why so many mitzvos mention Zecher L'Yitzias Mitzrayim. We always talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why? Because Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. We're forced. Right, we have to serve Him. We have no choice. This is what it is. Also, Number two, we're in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of all the incredible things that He did for us and all the nisim that He's done for us. Number three, not only did He redeem us from Mitzrayim and we're in awe of Him, but also HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped us. He sustained us. Look at what He did in the Midbar. He gave us food. He gave us drink. He protected us. So why would we leave Him? How could we leave Him? We can't do that. And then finally, Pasuk Yud Ches, Vayigaresh Hashem es kol ha'amim ve'es ha'amori, Yoshev ha'aretz mipanenu. We recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu drove out all the nations, drove out the Amori that settled in this land. Gam anachnu na'avodes Hashem ki hu Elokeinu. We're going to serve Hashem also because He's our God. Says the Malbim, what's the fourth reason why we're going to stick with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because we know that if we don't, He's going to throw us out of here. Right? He's going to send us into exile. Just like these people, Hashem just kicked them right out of the land because they worshiped the Avodah Zarah. They were not doing the right thing. Right? So we're going to do the same thing. We're going to keep at it. We conclude ki Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem Elokeinu means that the other gods, they're distant. Even from their worshippers, they're distant. They're not really, because they don't really accomplish anything. They can't really do anything. Hashem is Elokeinu. Hashem is our God. It's not just a distant God. It's not some God that we know about, that we hear about, that we, you know, it's a God that we live with. It's a God that we experience. It's a God that's close to us. And the Bnei Yisrael, as they're coming into Eretz Yisrael, and they've experienced all the miracles, they say, we've seen Him. We've experienced Him. We've lived with Him for the last X number of years. Right? You know, 40 in the Midbar, plus another 14 battling and conquering Eretz Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael end off, ki Hashem, ki hu Elokeinu. He's our God. We know Him. We live with Him. And chas v'shalom, we're never going to stray from Him. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. B'ezras Hashem, next week we'll finish off the parak chaf dalet of Sefer Yehoshua.